The College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Negandhi.
And welcome to the College Football Podcast. Kevin Negandhi here. Shout out to Herb Street and Pollock for a fantastic job with their coverage last week. Also, shout out to my co-anchor on SportsCenter, L. Duncan. We pulled some double-doubles doing Get Up on Thursday morning and then hosting the draft on ESPN Radio Thursday and Friday nights. We had a heck of a lot of fun. So the entire ESPN ABC family, I saw a lot of Reese Davis throughout the networks. Greeny, just fantastic job by our entire crew. And we're going to, for our audience here, we thought it would be more appropriate, instead of looking back and do draft grades for teams and where players went, I think you can get that at other places. We are going to look forward and spin it forward to the upcoming college football season, where some of the stars that we need to keep an eye on in the fall that we will be talking about next April when the draft rolls around in Vegas. So it's great to have Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, join us and get his thoughts about 2021, the upcoming season with the stars, as well as the 2022 draft, the big names that we should already have checked on our list heading into the season. Before we talk to Matt, two things you should check out. ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, takes viewers inside the WNBA's unprecedented 2020 season. 4 months after the WNBA postponed its season due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the league set out to play a condensed season entirely in a bubble where 144 players across 12 teams not only came together to play basketball, but also to dedicate their season to social justice. 144 premieres May 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. The film will be available on ESPN Plus immediately after it airs. Also, check out the Woj Pod. My guy, Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA season is coming down in the home stretch, and no one's more plugged in than our guy, Woj. You can follow the Woj Pod wherever you listen to podcasts everywhere. In the meantime, here is Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, taking a closer look at the upcoming college football season with the stars you need to know getting ready for next year's draft. It's great to have Matt Miller, draft analyst, part of our ESPN family during the draft coverage over the last couple of months. I've had the chance to talk to him on SportsCenter. You've seen him on NFL Live. And he's going to give us a perspective, not so much about what we saw over the past weekend, but what we can look forward to next April. And that means all the stars in the upcoming college football season. And I think much was debated, Matt, entering this year's past draft, that you got to get a quarterback because 2022 will not have the same type of quality and depth in the first round when it comes to the quarterback conversation. What are your thoughts on who we should keep an eye on at the quarterback position heading into the fall in the college football season?
Yeah, Kevin, what's funny about that is I remember tweeting that maybe 6 weeks ago. It was like, well, you better get your quarterback this year because next year looks like there's not Trevor Lawrence, there's not Justin Fields, right? And I had a GM text me within seconds of sending the tweet, and he texted me and he was like, you're so wrong about that. He's like, because what happens every year? Joe Burrow comes out of nowhere. Kyler Murray comes out of nowhere. Baker Mayfield comes out of nowhere. Zach Wilson comes out of nowhere. He's like, I understand your sentiment, but you're wrong. He's like, there will be guys next year. And so while we look at the landscape right now, there's not a player like Trevor Lawrence where we knew since high school he was going to be the number one pick in the draft, or Justin Fields, who was 1B to Trevor Lawrence's 1A coming out of high school and a five-star recruit. Like, we've known who those dudes were for a long time. But there are a lot of quarterbacks for next year's class. I think that's what makes it interesting is, you know, there are players like Sam Howell at North Carolina is probably the most popular name right now, he's a Baker Mayfield clone. So if you're looking for someone to jump this year, it could be him. Now, he loses two wide receivers and two running backs. That'll be interesting to see what North Carolina can do around him. You can look at Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley has had two first overall picks at quarterback, and he made Jalen Hurts into a second round pick when Nick Saban thought he was a running back. So Lincoln Riley knows how to develop quarterbacks. You have to keep an eye on Spencer Rattler, but there are other names as well, like Malik Willis at Liberty, who has a cannon of an arm. You got to look at Phil Yurkovich at Boston College, who is a former Florida State player, goes to Boston College, had a really good year last year. Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati, Jalen Daniels at Arizona State, and the list goes on and on. Carson Strong at Nevada, who looks like pro style, 6'4", 220, great arm. So there are more quarterbacks next year. I have 7 ranked in my early top 50. And 14.
Keaton Slovis, I don't mean to interrupt, but like immediately I think of the Pac-12. I think of Keaton Slovis and Tyler Shuck. Are they part of that that top 7?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think Tyler Shuck's kind of that a lot of development needs to happen there. Let's be honest. And that's me. You know, I try to watch these guys during the 2020 season. Over the summer, I'll start breaking down more of the tape. Keaton Slovis is a name you hear a lot because he has something that the other guys like Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, Malik Willis don't have in that size. He's 6'3". He's probably going to be close to 220 this year. And my God, he has weapons. He has so many weapons with Brew McCoy, Drake London. Like, USC is loaded at the skill positions next year. So, yeah, you got to throw all those guys in there, Kevin, where we're going to be. There's not the top-end talent that 2021's draft class had, but there's a hell of a lot more of it. And that's what makes it more fun is we're going to be scouting like 14 quarterbacks next year. And that's just in the guys who are known right now. There's always going to be somebody that comes out of the woodwork and we're like, oh, okay, now we got to watch this guy too.
Excellent point. Because we experienced that with, like you mentioned, you know, Zach Wilson, we experienced that here with Mac Jones. And then of course, the whole Joe Burrow experience just a couple years ago. All right. Now the other conversation too, that became a theme for people that follow the draft, that offense was going to dominate 2021 when it came to the draft. It feels like there's a lot more depth, especially on the defensive line, entering this year's, you know, football season when it comes to the NFL talent.
Yeah, I think so. That's the key, is this year we didn't have that top-tier pass rusher, right? And even the corners, there was kind of an argument. Is it J.C. Horn? Is it Patrick Surtain? If Caleb Farley hadn't been hurt? So, you know, we didn't see a defender come off the board until 8th overall. That will not be the case next year. I'm here on May 3rd to guarantee that will not be the case because Oregon's Kayvon Thibodeau is everything that scouts want as a pass rusher. He's been the dude since he was a true freshman. He's only gotten better. He's 6'5", 250. And while he doesn't have the power of the Bosa brothers or Chase Young, they were a little bit bigger, stouter players. I would argue his first step is actually better. So that was actually, I don't know if you remember, that was the knock on Joey and Nick Bosa. It was like, well, the first step, not that great. That has been proven wrong. But as, you know, in the pre-draft process, you had to look for a negative. That was the only one you could find other than their injuries. With Thibodeau, there's nothing. I don't know that there's a negative. He is my number one player headed into next year with a bullet. And Derek Stingley Jr. at LSU is right behind him. So my top two players for next year are defenders. And I think that while quarterbacks and wide receivers, like, they're the sexy picks, my top four players for next year are all defenders, because you have to throw in DeMarvin Leal at Texas A&M, who's probably not a household name yet, but I'm going to do everything I can this summer to change that. And Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton, who is probably more of a household name because he plays at Notre Dame. But those four players top my big board for next year. So it's a really good class on the defensive side, where we're getting back a little bit to some balance, you know, in the universe after all these quarterbacks and wide receivers going early.
I love that you bring up the balance because, the last couple of years, it feels like it's slanted, especially towards the wide receiver. Will we see the boom here at cornerback? We saw a little bit there early in that the first 10 picks, especially in the back half, but that was part of the conversation. The key will be depth, right? Adding some depth here, because you don't need just two corners on both sides. You need the slot corner with the coverage when you have guys like Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore, running in that open space underneath. All right, so help me out here with the wide receivers, because I feel like Justin Ross is one of those guys at Clemson. Who else should we keep an eye on when it comes to the wide receiver talent coming in?
Justin Ross coming back from injury is huge. You know, he was looked at as a first-round pick his freshman year. Sophomore year, his production dropped a little bit as they started really giving the ball to Travis Etienne a lot more. Then he gets hurt. So watching his comeback story will be important. This will shock you, I know. Alabama has another great wide receiver. John Metchie III. I've talked to scouts already who've said, put it down, he's better than Jalen Waddle and he's better than Devontae Smith. And I'm like, oh, come on. They're like, no, put it down. He's better than those guys. So John Metchie is a dude. He's up there. George Pickens at Georgia, had he not torn his ACL, would be in the conversation as well. We'll have to kind of monitor his progress when he's coming back. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave at Ohio State. Ohio State might have two first-team All-Americans at wide receiver. They're that talented. So, and then there is really good depth. Joseph Ngata from Clemson. If Justin Ross is a little slow, he's going to get a ton of looks. He's going to get a ton of balls early. I can scroll down my list here of guys who are also available. You mentioned Justin Ross. That's probably the biggest name. at Texas A&M, Anaya Smith Jr. He's going to play some running back, some wide receiver. He's just a playmaker. Just get him the football. He's going to make plays. David Bell at Purdue is really, really talented as well. And then, again, there's depth. There are so many receivers for next year's class where we're not even getting to people like Ty Freivogel at Indiana, who had a great year last year and was, like, beating up people in the Big Ten, basically. I mentioned Brew McCoy and Drake London at USC, Jahan Dodson at Penn State. I mean, they're – the list of wide receiver prospects is just insane again. And it's funny because I catch myself either speaking about it or writing about it saying next year's receiver class is really deep. I think we have to like adjust our perspective of what deep means for the receiver class. It's deep every year. Like the years of, you know, like 2017 where they're like, oh, it's mostly second round receivers. Those days are gone. There are just too many athletes in college football. Great to know. And you mentioned Georgia, and one guy that we didn't talk about when it came to the quarterback conversation. How do you view JT Daniels? He's tough. I like him. I really do. And, you know, obviously last year he transfers into Georgia, which caused a ripple effect. Jamie Newman transfers out or opts out of Georgia. Jamie Newman ends up going undrafted. JT Daniels looked really good down the stretch. So I'm intrigued by him. I'm kind of reserving judgment a little bit because you transfer in last year. The season's a mess with COVID and, you know, limiting practices, and he gets hurt and is late to get on the scene. But I'm intrigued by him. And I do know when he transferred in there, scouts were raving about this might be the guy who surprises us all because they had weapons around him, had a good offensive line. And then obviously the season got derailed a little bit, but he is 100% on the radar for next year.
Is there a guy that could be a sleeper in May that you think everybody is going to be talking about in October, November, December?
Yeah, like Zach Wilson, right? Where when Zach Wilson started playing well, we were like, oh, okay, well, it's BYU. And then it was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, that's good. I think Malik Willis at Liberty will be that guy. You know, Hugh Freeze can coach up some offense, and Malik Willis has exceptional talent. I mean, he's athletic. He has a big, big arm. He's not the biggest player. He's 6'1", about 215. But I think he's the player who could be making those highlights that you're talking about on SportsCenter where we all have to pay attention, right? And be like, okay, it's not the biggest level of competition, even though they do play up quite a bit. But it's just the physical traits are crazy. And then I really like Carson Strong and Nevada as well. Two polar opposite players because Carson Strong is, you know, big. He's built like an NFL quarterback, what we think of as an NFL quarterback, right? But he has just the arm strength to make crazy plays all over the field. So those are the two that are probably not household names. They're not at USC. They're not at Oklahoma. But they are very good prospects.
Yeah, and to add with the Malik Willis conversation, he would be a household name when he first came into the college scene because he was at Auburn. Then he transferred to Liberty. So it's not like that, you know.
He's not Liberty, a scrub, right?
Exactly. And right. Hugh Freeze is bringing in a bunch of transfers and flipping these guys into this offense and then plug and play, right? Then you see a different offense. Speaking of the plug and play, your thoughts on what Lane Kiffin's doing with a talented Ole Miss transferring over. I mean, there are moments when you watch that offense and you're like, okay, can anybody play this and then go to the next level?
Right. And that's the question with their quarterback, Matt Corral, and is he legit, right? Because he makes plays where your like eyes are popping out of your head and you're scribbling the notes down like, oh my God. And then he'll throw five interceptions in a game. And so it's very hard. And I do think Elijah Moore got hit by that a little bit in the draft, falling to the second round, because people just wonder, okay, all your production's manufactured, it feels like. So can you go operate on your own? I think that's one of the biggest questions with Lane Kiffin. And, you know, Ole Miss doesn't have the talent next year at the skill positions that I thought they had this year. But Matt Corral he's definitely a quarterback that has to be watched. And they have Nick Broeker on the offensive line, who's a very good player. I mean, he'll likely be a top 100 draft pick. So they do have talent. And I think the cool thing that Lane does, whether you love him or hate him, is he gets his playmakers to football. And like he just knows how to manipulate space. You know, it's like Steve Sarkisian has like the good reputation of guys who can do that right now. And like Lane's doing the exact same thing, just not at Texas or Alabama. So I think, you know, as he gets more of his type of players in there, that's going to be so much fun to watch. I mean, he and Mike Leach in the same state is just so great for college football. And the fact that we get a full season of it next year without the craziness and all the concerns of COVID, like that's game day will be at one of those games, guaranteed. Like, it has to happen.
Cannot wait. How do you view De'Ara King? It's such an interesting prospect, right? Especially size-wise. I think people will be surprised. I mean,
You assume that, okay, the way he is, the way he played, he's only 5'10", right? Am I right with that on yeah. being a little bit undersized here?
He is. I think he needs to send Kyler Murray a gift basket because, like, Kyler changed a lot of the perspectives there, right? Of like, well, you're 5'10", you can't play quarterback in the NFL. And, like, obviously Russell Wilson started that trend, but Russ's, you know, football IQ and arm strength made everything different. But Kyler Murray being that smaller guy who's able to run around and make crazy plays, you know, and even like with Zach Wilson this year, there was a lot of concern that he wasn't going to be 6'2". Standing next to him as somebody who's like 5'10 and a half, I still don't believe that he's 6'2". But, you know, I think with Derek King, the biggest question will probably be the injury history, you know, more than anything. And an interesting, like, kind of avenue and thing that I need to investigate more this summer is I know teams are starting to knock guys who've been to multiple schools because it's like, it's almost a red flag. You know, it's like maybe it's a pink flag. You know, maybe it's not all the way red, but it's like, there's something to this. And I think I've seen Bill Belichick speak about it. I've heard other scouts privately speak about it of where, well, if a guy's been at two or three schools, that we start to pay attention to that. And so maybe that means you're an older prospect. It could mean that you have, you know, trouble with authority or, you know, you're going to bounce when things don't go your way in terms of adversity. But I think Derek King's athleticism and what he has around him at Miami, like it's definitely going to be worth watching. And we've seen small quarterbacks get drafted so early now, you know, whether it's Baker, Kyler Murray, Zach Wilson, size is not the eliminator that it used to be.
I find that interesting, though, with the idea of transferring and going to other schools. When you specifically look at Kyler Murray, who transferred, Baker Mayfield, who was transferred.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, you know, Justin Fields. Yeah. We've seen it work, and this is just the day and age where coaches can leave, so players should have the option to move around and look at their options and say, I want to go somewhere else because my coach could leave. I could leave in that situation. Again, each person is different, but
absolutely.
I find that interesting that it is part of the conversation now in this day and age. All right, now, there are two sophomores who cannot go into the 2022 NFL draft that I think a lot of people are going to be very curious about because they are going to be discussed heavily in 2023 if they decide to enter the draft. It's DJ Uiagalelei of Clemson, the quarterback, and Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama, who many assume would have been the starter if Mac Jones didn't beat him out. Your thoughts on these two guys? We have a little track record and information on Uiagalelei, but Bryce Young is another five-star guy from Southern California, decided to go to Alabama, and there's an unknown about him. Your thoughts on both?
Bryce Young looked great in that spring game. And I know that you don't want to put too much into that, but it's Alabama. So the spring game, like the team you're playing against would probably win the national championship, right? Or at least the SEC, you know, even though it's half squad, like they're that good. So he looked very, very good in that game. I would think that the DJ at Clemson, and I thank God I have a year to learn how to pronounce his last name because you want to be respectful, right? Not get those things wrong. You nailed it. And I'm like trying to catch on to the trick there. It's almost unfair that they get to go from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence to this. You know, it's just the arm strength, the size. He stepped into that offense and they didn't miss a beat. And I think that says a lot about him. Like Trevor Lawrence gets COVID. Here comes the next five-star. And he tore up Notre Dame. Like, I mean, he tore them up to where I know that there were scouts saying, like, is Trevor Lawrence that good or is the scheme that good? And that is what, you know, there were people that had Zach Wilson as the top quarterback this year. And those folks that I talked to who had Zach as QB1 went right to that Notre Dame game and said, well, what about, like, this guy arguably played better than Trevor Lawrence. So how are we supposed to know that Trevor's the guy? I still think Trevor's great, but I think the early favorite would be DJ just because of what we saw last year in the two games. Bryce Young is fantastic though. And I'm with you. I really, really thought that heading into the year, he would beat out Mac Jones just because of the five-star player. You're probably not going to sit for very long at Alabama when you're a five-star. I think it says a lot about Mac Jones and what he showed at the end of 2019 when Tua got hurt. But it's Bryce Young time now, and they are once again loaded. Evan Neal at left tackle is going to be an early draft pick. We spoke about John Mechie earlier. I mean, they're just at every position, they have a draftable player. And we saw that. We saw 10 Alabama players drafted in the first, like, 50 picks. It's just ridiculous. So they're as loaded next year, and they bring back a lot of talent. You know, Brian Robinson in the backfield, it's going to be his time to shine, and I'm sure they have 3 5-stars just waiting to play with them as well.
No, they also have Billingsley there as well. So they just sliding in, plug and play every single recruiting class. We're good to go.
Billingsley at tight end is impressive, right? I mean, and there's Weidermeyer, A&M, and Billingsley at Texas next year at the tight end, or Alabama, excuse me, at the tight end position where it's just jaw-dropping, the talent that these guys have.
Hey, listen, I know you've got to get going soon. You also are getting ready for your mock, which comes out on Tuesday. Can you let the audience know where they can find it?
Yeah, top 50 big board and then a round one mock draft. As you mentioned, doing a lot of TV with you guys at ESPN, but still writing independently. So it's thedraftscout.com. It's a membership. It's $7 a month, but over the summer, we're knocking that price off so people can get it for like $5.50 a month, and it's mock drafts, big boards. We also do, we're doing scouting school where some NFL scouts are going to hang out over the summer. People can hop on a Zoom call with me and them, and we're just going to try to teach people virtually what we look for when we scout positions. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Incredible. Yeah. Draftscout.com. Check it out.
Yes, sir.
And Matt, one other trick here. During Notre Dame week, I remember I specifically said it 20 times before going on the air. Ooey, unga, lale.
Ooey, unga, lale.
Lale. Okay. And then you just keep on saying it over and over again. And then it just becomes, there we go. Yeah, and then it just becomes natural. Ooey, unga, lale.
Yeah.
And well, I just go
by
back
week
to that.
Two, we'll be saying it so much that we'll all have it down because he's that good.
Hey, Matt, I know the last week's been a lot on you guys. You guys did a phenomenal job leading up to the draft and the draft coverage. And I hope you can get some time to breathe a little bit later on this week. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you, man.
Special thanks to Matt Miller for joining us here and giving us a sneak preview of the upcoming season. Malik Willis, again, you're going to hear a lot about him. I'm a big fan of Sam Howell. I've watched the young man. I've had the chance to talk to Mac and visit North Carolina. You know, I remember 2 years ago where it was the chance to see Mac's first season as he was prepping. And Sam Howell came out and I said, who's that 35-year-old? And he was like, yeah, that's our freshman quarterback. And I mean, he just looks so much older than everybody. And Mac was like, he's the guy. Just watch it in a couple of years. The kid will be a stud. And Mac has nailed it. So Sam Howell, early on, obviously, you're going to hear a lot about Keaton Slovis because of his arm talent and the skill position. USC is going to be a lot of fun. Oregon's going to be a lot of fun watching Clemson and Bama. But Sam Howell at North Carolina, cannot wait to see what he does, especially with four new weapons coming in, losing two wide receivers and two running backs to the draft. You can check out Matt's website and that 2022 mock at thedraftscout.com and plenty of his great work over on Twitter as well as on ESPN, on NFL Live. Good stuff from him. Great stuff from our guy, Taylor Schwenk, who always holds it down for us, producer, and making sure we can bring these podcasts to you. And I think we're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back as the offseason continues with any type of news and interviews coming your way. In the meantime, we hope that you guys have a fantastic spring, and you stay healthy, and you stay safe.